What's up, family? Welcome to another season and episode of the Clifton Brantley Podcast. That's right, you heard me correctly. We made it to another season. It is now season 8. We've done 8 seasons. And this is episode 1 of 8. So here's what I'm going to do for this first episode. Just so happened this morning when I woke up, I was sitting in front of the computer and I started talking. And I was just talking about relationships. And midway through me talking, I said, you know, I maybe should turn the camera on. So I turned the camera on and turned the recorder on. And I recorded my morning rant, but I enjoyed the rant so good. And I believe that it was so helpful. I said, man, I think I'm just going to make this an episode. So I uploaded it to YouTube. And then I said, hey, this can be the first episode of season 8. And so what I did is extracted that audio and I'm going to play it for you now. So this is episode 1 of season 8. And I hope this blesses you. And so let me say this before I get into what I want you to listen to. This season 8, I'm hoping, let me change that. This season 8 is going to be the best ever. Okay. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything for anybody who's not a fan of mine or who doesn't listen to my content. But for the people who follow me, I'm going to give you, you're about to get the best that I got. Have you been getting the best? You've been giving the best that I was able to give. But now that God is releasing me, he's releasing me. Really, he's not releasing me. He's freeing me. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I'm in a place where doing God's work is first and foremost, it's primary. It's the thing that I'm doing. It's the thing that I'm focused on, because at this point in my life, nothing else matters. There's nothing else in life that's worth, or not even worth. There's nothing else in life strong enough to be the foundation on which you build your life other than Christ. I've discovered that the hard way. Some of you may have discovered it the hard way too, but that's what I've discovered. And so now in this season of my life, and what you're going to learn, there have been some changes with me. I'm not making any kind of announcements or anything, but there have been some changes. And with those changes come responsibility, just like great power. You know, with great power comes responsibility. Well, with these changes come responsibility as well. So anyway, just you know, stick with me. My goal is to release these every week, at least once a week. I should have a new episode coming out. And I'm going to talk about all things. My goal is to help you do love and life better. It's my number one priority. That's what God put me here to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use all the gifts that I have to help you do love and life better. Okay? All right. So I hope you guys, I really hope this blesses you. What I'm about to talk about is really one of the, it is, if not the reason, one of the main reasons we misunderstand each other and our relationships go sideways. So if you can address this issue that I'm about to talk about, it will drastically change your entire relationship. Okay? You guys enjoy. When you first get with your partner, how you interact with them is going to be based heavily on your inner world. It's going to be based heavily on your inner world. So think about it. So I was thinking about, you know, my ex, and I was thinking about the reason I didn't trust her love a lot of times. And then I thought about my client from yesterday and the things that they were saying to each other. I was like, So as I was thinking about both of those this morning, here's what I realized. In thinking about my situation, I'm going to just say it in a way that makes sense to me, and I hope you get it. This is how I said it to myself. So what I've noticed, I call myself son because I'm talking to my inner child. So what I noticed, son, is the people in your world that are supposed to love you in your child, especially in your childhood. The people that were supposed to love you are the people you've learned not to trust. Because in your childhood, the people that are supposed to love you, they left you or they didn't validate you or whatever the case, right? So now when I become an adult and I get in this loving relationship, it's all good when it's good. But when it goes bad, then I'm thinking subconsciously, oh, that's because you don't trust. I don't trust this love. Or that's because you don't really love me. And so you start acting like you did in childhood as in your responses. I don't know if that makes sense. But what I'm saying is, like, you have to deal with your inner world, because how you see the outside world is going to be based on your inner world. And so if, for example, when you were growing up, you were abused. And so the world, your inner world is unsafe. So now when you see things out in the world, it is going to be filtered through your unsafe lens. And so when you see a guy walking towards you, he's 50 feet away. You're getting in the car and you're leaving. I'm not staying in this place. So when you see a guy walking to, you know, the Burger King and he frowned up, oh, no, I'm leaving. And I'm making that up, right? But I'm making the point that your inner world is the dominant thing in your life. So what your partner has done to you or does to you, the weight that it carries is heavily dependent on your interpretation of the thing, not the thing. And that's all I'll be trying to tell people. Like, physical pain is not the same as emotional pain. And actually, we can't even prove physical pain. Like, if I take a ruler and I hit your knuckles, that's physical pain. And if I hit another person, that's physical pain, but there's no way for us to determine if that pain is the same. But we know emotional pain is not the same with everybody. It's not, because we make it up in our head, right? And so one person gets cheated on, their whole world is destroyed. They're over. They're like, I cannot continue. That would be me. Another person gets cheated on, we can make it work. It depends on your mental makeup. And what's going, not really your mental makeup, that's part of it, but primary to that is just how your world functions. So if you've never done therapy ever, and you're over 40 and you're dealing with betrayal, you got stuff in there that your partner is not responsible for, and it's all jumbled up, and you are blaming your partner for things they didn't do. Now, you have no way of knowing that, and you can't separate it yourself. You need to go talk to a professional. But what I'm saying is, your world is not right. So you're not going to be able to process your partner's behavior right. You're not going to be able to process your children's behavior right. And I'm just saying in general, like, they're not part of betrayal. I'm just saying in general. So when I was a single parent and I was in my immaturity, I didn't have good social boundaries. That's my inner world. My inner world comes out into the outer world. So as I'm parenting, you know what I couldn't give them? I couldn't teach them boundaries. Now, I didn't know that at the time, but when I look back in hindsight, I see, oh, they don't have boundaries because you didn't have boundaries. Now, when I say didn't have boundaries, people, you know, boundaries is a buzzword these days. So when I say didn't have boundaries, I don't mean no boundaries at all, period, nowhere in my life. That doesn't make sense. I got on clothes. That's a boundary. Like, I don't mean that, but, and I'm not going into that. That's not what, this lesson, this message is not about that. This is about navigating your world so you don't sabotage your marriage. Understanding your world so you don't sabotage your marriage. So in my world, watch this. In my world, in my head, in my mind, remember that's the only place your world exists. In my world, silence is not golden. I wish I had just one. If I just had one witness. Silence is not golden in my world. So in my world, when you're silent, when your response to me is silence, in my world, that is translated as ignoring me. And in my world, when you go down this one hallway, there's this giant plaque on the wall of my mind. There's this giant plaque on the wall that says, when we are ignored, we act ignorant. Y'all not even hearing me. It's on the wall. And so every time my ex was silent, my alarm went off, said, she's ignoring. And the child ran straight to that plaque, read it. Time to get ignorant, put on his ignorant clothes, and would act ignorant. Because of what's going on in my inner world, not because of what she's doing in the outer world. Do you understand that? Why am I sharing that? Not to share my business. I'm sharing it because it is a human condition and you are a human being. That's why I'm sharing it. Because you're doing the same thing. How I know? Because y'all keep coming to my office. And I say this all day, every day. You made that up. You probably heard me say it online before. You made that up. That's not true. You made that up. You made that up in your mind. They don't even love me. You made that up. Where's the proof they don't love you? Because they did that thing? Okay. So if that thing is proof that they don't love you, how do you explain all the other things they did before that? Those were fake, and this is real. How you determine that? Where's the proof for that? Your pain? You can't trust your pain. You can't trust your pain. Why? Because your pain is tainted. Your pain comes from a tainted, jacked up world, and it probably has other pains in there with it. And so now, because this pain is so big, they're all joined together, and you think your partner is responsible for all of this, and they're not. But because you don't know that, you're going to punish them as if they are, and they don't know they're not. So the big response that you're giving them, your world is over and you're having suicidal thoughts, all of that, they think they're responsible for that. You brought that with you. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help you not put on your partner what's not theirs. Because, so divorce them. If that thing they did so bad, they cheated with your sister, that's bad. In my world, some folk that ain't, but let's go with that. Leave them. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take your dysfunctional world. And you know what? I'll be kind. Let's not call your world dysfunctional. You're going to take your uniquely crafted world with you, unchecked, unfiltered, and you're going to go find somebody else. Your partner's going to do things that are red flags in your world. That same system that you had in the previous marriage where you were crushed, you're going to bring that over here. If you don't do two things, number one, heal your world. Number two, learn this concept of your partner's world so that you could try to understand their world. So when they do what they do, listen, as much as possible, you need to try to understand their intent. But you can only get their intent from them. If they slap you, you can assume their intent, but nobody knows their intent but them. And then you got to decide whether or not you believe them. Because sometimes we don't believe folk when they say, well, yeah, I did this because of that. And let me speak on that real quick. So betrayal folk, when you ask your partner, why did you do this? When they tell you, that's not an excuse. You know, they say, wife says, you know, why did you do this? And the husband says, we wasn't talking. You was ignoring me. I kept trying to talk to you, but you wouldn't talk to me. And all you did was fuss. And then the wife will say, that's not an excuse to go cheat. So when you communicate that, what you're communicating is that in your world, what you heard or what you translated his message was, I was right in cheating. I'm justified in cheating because you were doing these things. And that's not what he said. He just answered your question. Why did you cheat? Because I was lonely. That's not a reason to cheat. I know it's not a good reason. It's not a good reason to cheat, but it is a reason. Is needing money a reason to rob a bank? It is. Is needing a ride to work a reason to steal a car? It is. It's not a good reason. It's not a valid reason. It's not an acceptable reason, but it is a reason. A reason is neutral. A reason is just what it is. So you want to know the reason why I did it? This is the reason why I did it. But this is why I need to heal that, though. I cheated because I was lonely. I cheated because you never talked to me. But that don't make it right. And so what these wives hear is, oh, you're justifying it. And then now we're fighting about that. So husbands will come and they say, I don't know what to say to her when she asks me why this, why that. I don't know how to answer. Because whenever I answer, she just say I'm being defensive. So then I have to say, he's not justifying his behavior unless he said, now, here's how you would justify cheating. This is an example, and you can put your stuff in this box, however it fits. I can't believe you cheated. Well, I wouldn't have cheated if you would have such. That's justifying. Because what I'm saying is, I did what I did, and you made me. But when you ask me, why you break that glass? And I say, I was angry because the Texans won, and I threw it down. That's not a reason to break a glass. It is a reason. It ain't a good reason. But it is a reason. And it's the reason I did it. I'm stupid. I wish I wouldn't have done it. But I did do it. And that's the reason I did it. Because I'm stupid and immature. I don't know what to tell you. But that's the reason I did it. What I'm trying to communicate to you is, don't automatically assume that your partner is in a place they're not. This is why this work is hard. And it's hard when I have clients, I literally can see how they're going the wrong way, how they're misunderstanding each other. Even in betrayal, I can see, man, if I could reach into y'all's worlds and rearrange some stuff, we'd be done in 6 weeks, if not before. That is why. Now, this is what I believe. That is why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God can do that work. Your two worlds are so different. They're so unalike. They're so different. And you think, because you guys speak the same language, because y'all like some of the same things, y'all got a lot of things in common, y'all think y'all live in the same world, but y'all don't. It's not possible. And it's because of these different worlds that makes it's one of the major things that makes relationships difficult. So you add betrayal to it, then of course it's difficult because that's another major injury. Let's just say major event, because injury is a judgment. Injury says, that's another major event that my unique world has to process. Both of us, and we're going to process it differently. I'm telling you, when they're in my office, when they're going back and forth, not like arguing, like I don't allow that, but I'm saying like when we're talking, I can see them talking from their world. And we spend a lot of time. Let me finish this thought. I can see them talking from their world about their partner, about what's going on in their world. And they're disagreeing because they're thinking about their world. They're not hearing what the other person is saying. And I spend a lot of time trying to help couples see that. They don't see it. Let me try to explain this world thing again, because I really need you to get this. It's the main point of this random video. Your world only exists in your mind. Your world is made up. Your world was created based on where you were born, who you were born to, the family you were born into, the neighborhood you grew up in, your siblings, the gender of your siblings, your dad, his childhood, your mama's childhood, your hurts, your elementary school, you walking down the street, going to school, whatever you've experienced in your life, all of that has good, bad, and indifferent has shaped your world. And you are the only person on the entire planet. You know how big this planet is? The planet is so big that in an airplane, it takes many hours to cross the ocean. That's crazy to me. In a plane? I'm just saying. But you're the only person on the whole planet that lives in your world. There's not another human being that can ever be in your world like you are. Now, the idea, honestly, so for marriage, maybe any intimate relationship, the idea is to enter into each other's worlds. Maybe that's something I need to start teaching, because really, we don't do that. That's something we don't do. We do not actively. We think we do. We'll say it. But we're not really trying to get into their world. Man, listen, that's dating advice. So when you're dating someone, this is a side note. I hope I can get back. You're dating someone. Y'all are seriously dating. So dating is for the purpose of gathering data. Yeah, to see how well these two lives fit together. We're going to try to do life together. You need to gather as much data as possible. But when you're dating, if you guys can focus on. So if I'm dating you, my focus is understanding your world. But you know what we spend time on? Trying to get you to understand me. I know, because I be doing it right now. When I meet folk, or when I talk to folk, I be trying to get them to know me. But I'm changing that. I'm not dating. When you're dating, if you guys can focus on, like, let your number one priority. I don't know about number one priority. Let one of your priorities be, I want to understand their world. But y'all have a conversation. That's another thing, this whole Hollywood mindset where you think folks should just know how to do stuff. No. Y'all have a conversation. Hey, I think it would be good if you get to know how my world operates and I get to know how your world operates. That will better help you understand if y'all want to be together. Because all I'm doing, this is good. Because otherwise, all I'm doing is judging the outputs from your inner world. And I can guarantee you, I'm going to misjudge them. Because the outputs that you put out that I determine as good, the meaning, the kind of meaning of good I'm going to give it, that may not be what's necessary based on the other things that, you know, I have labeled in my world. When you do something I don't like, that's going to go in a certain place. Because I don't have your meaning, because I'm not in your world, it's going to be based on my world. So I'm going to put this on the wall, hang this up, put this on the bookshelf in my world. And I guess worlds don't have walls, huh? So in my world, there are houses. I'm gonna design this world like I'm going to use Mario World. I'm going to use Mario World to teach this lesson. I'm gonna play Mario today. When y'all see this lesson on Mario, understand this is where the thought came from, right here, right now. What's today? Today is November the 12th, 2025. Mario. We're not in each other's worlds. So when I see the good, I label that a certain way based on my world. And because I don't know your intent, for example, I'm using something really simple, man opening the door. So he opens the door on your first few dates. You see that, you determine he's romantic. He's chivalrous. Now watch this. You don't have any proof that he's chivalrous. You got evidence. That's evidence. But it's also evidence of a whole lot of things. It's not proof that he's chivalrous. Anyway, you've determined in your mind he's chivalrous. So then on the fourth date, he doesn't open the door. Now that goes in a certain box. You don't say nothing to him. It just rubs you the wrong way a little bit. He just forgot today. Now you got evidence for him being chivalrous and you have evidence for him not being chivalrous. But you don't translate over to he's not being chivalrous anymore because in your chivalrous Rolodex, there are other things that he does just because he's him. But you think it's because he's intentionally trying to love you or show you whatever. That's not what he's doing. He don't even know that you're taking notes like that because you're not saying, oh, you're so chivalrous, you're so romantic. Continue on. And then now, y'all are in a relationship and it's like relationships do. You know, we bumping heads or whatever. Now you determine he lied to me in the beginning. He was fake in the beginning. He showed me something different in the beginning. No, more than likely, you saw what you saw. You mislabeled it because you didn't take the time to get to know in his world. Hey, when you open the door for me, what does that mean to you? I just opened because I was on your side and it seemed like I just opened it. I don't know. I didn't even really think about it. When he says that, that's the evidence and the proof he wasn't being chivalrous. But that's how you labeled it. And what I'm saying is take this small example and apply it to everything in your relationship. Just do it. Just apply it to different situations in your relationship. And if you're on, do it by yourself. When you do that, tell me you're not coming up with new revelations about, oh, I may have misjudged that. Oh, you know what? When he was yelling, that may have been because I used his golf club to kill a roach as opposed to him just going off on me. I don't know where that came. I don't know where that came from. Anyway. When you're dating, learn each other's world. Okay. All right, back to betrayal. So the way this impacts my betrayal clients, like I said before, is because just think about it. When somebody broke in my house, this was 2002, maybe. I had an apartment. Somebody broke in there. I was like, I can't believe somebody broke in my house. That's what I was just feeling like. It was like, oh, and this, I never processed this way. This is an example of my inner world. What happened on the outside, somebody breaking in my house, I couldn't understand in my inner world because I was like, why would somebody do that to me? Like to me, I took it personal. Like they knew me and they, oh, that's Clifton. Random house. It was on the corner. It was easy access. So, and all they stole was my VCR and some tennis shoes because they couldn't get out the door, right? Because when I moved in apartments, I always put a deadbolt on the lock. So you need a key to get in and out. So they got in the window, but they had to go back out the window, so they couldn't take much. But here's the point. I'm sorry. That night and several nights after that, I couldn't sleep. I had no idea nighttime was that noisy. When I tell you, I heard every little crack, crevice. I think I heard spiders when they was walking on the wall. Like I kept waking up looking out the window. Why? Because even though it wasn't a trauma, it was the kind of injury that had me on fear alert, kind of like in survival mode. And so I was hyper-focused on me and my safety. In other words, I was living in pride, but it wasn't hurting anybody for once. Well, I mean, me, because I couldn't sleep. I'm sharing that to say, when things happen in life like that, and betrayal is a trauma, so it is a trauma, you do hyper-focus on yourself and your safety, right? So it's extremely difficult in the midst of the pain for you to be trying to understand what's going on in the other person's world. I get that. But you got to try, because if you don't, you are going to hurt yourself. Because I'm telling you, there are things in your world that are hurting you that your partner is not doing and that they're not responsible for. And if you don't recognize that, if you don't recognize that, you are going to think and require for them to heal you when they cannot. They can't. No matter how compliant they become, no matter, you have to do your inner work. Okay? All right. So now, this is a random video. My stomach is telling me to stop because it's time to go eat breakfast. So I'm going to go do that because I'm hungry. Oh, what time is it anyway? I got clients today. I don't even know what time.